Okay, so good morning, everyone. Can you hear okay? In the back there, too? Okay, good. Well, I think some of you were here for the first time, yeah? There were some. Mm-hmm. And do you know who we were bowing to in the beginning? Of course, the Buddha. I think you're aware that this is a Buddhist place. Bow to the Buddha first, and bow to Shengyan Shifu, or Chan Master Shengyan. Does everybody know who that is? Some don't. And Shengyan Shifu, or Chan Master Shengyan, is our founder, the founder of the center, as well as the founder of where I am residing now, which is upstate at the Dharma Drum Retreat Center. So he's the founder. He passed away in 2009. I'm sure you can find some literature about him outside there. And do you feel comfortable where you're sitting? Yeah? Okay. It's important to feel comfortable. Especially if you're here for the first time, everything is new. Even these seats are new. And there were some people sitting on the cushion. And feel free to sit however you feel comfortable. Of course, don't lie down. Can't have that. But even sitting on the cushion, you could put your knees up, put your legs up, and cross them or don't cross them, just so you feel comfortable. It's difficult to listen to a Dharma talk if you're in pain or physically uncomfortable. So just adjust yourself and relax, and we can begin. So today I'd like to share with everyone. Oh, I should translate too. 对不起，忘掉了。我要自己做翻译, so I have to translate for myself today. If I forget, please raise your hand. Show some kind of a signal, just wave or something. Remind me to translate. 所以欢迎大家来到东珠禅寺听经。前面的部分应该不需要讲吧。 都认识师父。另外就是你坐的时候，在听经还是听开示的时候，尽量让你的身体放松，坐的姿势让你的身体觉得舒服。如果你有痛，觉得很不舒服，听开示的时候大概听不进去，所以如果要换腿啊、搬腿啊，就是随意啊，坐得舒服就好。 So, for today's Dharma talk, I'd like to share with everyone about some of the teachings of Bodhidharma. Does everyone know who Bodhidharma is? Anybody not know who Bodhidharma is? Okay, well, it's worth saying who he is. And Bodhidharma, we consider him to be the first ancestor teacher of the Chan school. In Buddhism as a whole, we have Chinese Buddhism, and then within Chinese Buddhism, you have the school of Chan Buddhism, which is what our tradition is here. And Bodhidharma is seen as the ancestor, or the first teacher, who emphasized this Chan teaching in China. I believe it was in the 6th century. And he didn't bring Buddhism to China. You know, Buddhism had been there for a few hundred years already. But what he brought was a kind of revolution towards the way we look at studying Buddhism and practicing Buddhism. Or he revolutionized or helped to generate a new perspective about practice and emphasized practical practice. Emphasize that we need to use the Bodhidharma, not just study it and have it become a kind of knowledge, but apply it. And we begin applying it through sitting meditation. And later, we learn how to apply it in daily life. With Bodhidharma's teaching, he emphasized that... Oh, sorry, translate first. 所以今天, 要讲的是菩提达摩的一些开示。大家都认识菩提达摩吗？初祖，我们是禅宗的初祖，第一位祖师在禅宗的这个法脉。那菩提达摩比较特殊的地方，就是他的教理的部分是注重实际的修行。比如说在中国第六世纪的时候，菩提达摩是把禅法传到中国。他不是说把佛法带到中国，因为菩提达摩来的时候，佛法已经好几百年在中国已经开始慢慢的发展。但是菩提达摩在中国的时候，他所传的法比较特殊的地方是重视实际的修行，而且心理上的体验。他是希望学佛的人不仅仅是把佛法当作一种知识或者是学问哲学，而是把佛法转化为你的生命的一种体验，心理上的体悟。那是菩提达摩比较特殊而强调的教理的部分。So this chan, which we talk about all the time, chan practice, or the experience of chan, enlightenment, which we've all heard about. Now, what is exactly this chan experience? What is chan practice? 我们讲禅是禅修，或者是禅悟。你来到东出禅寺的时候，大概是经常听到这个字禅呢，禅修。禅修可以开悟。到底禅是什么意思啊？So, you know, what is this chan that we're always talking about? Well, we could look at it as first being an experience or a realization. This chan experience or this chan realization helps us to completely change our perspective on our own life, on our understanding of ourself, so that with this experience we can resolve our suffering. Resolve the difficulties we face in our life. And of course, these difficulties stem from our own mind, our own thinking, our own behavior. So this chan as an experience can help us to completely transform our perspective and have a grasp on how to resolve our stress and our anxiety and our difficulties. 所以禅禅如果是讲体验的话呢，禅是一种觉悟，能够觉悟到完全不同的一种对生命的一种perspective， 叫做什么角度。有这种体验，这种觉悟之后，就可以完全转化我们的生命的一种体验。那从烦恼是困扰之中能够转化成没有烦恼没有困难，而能够解决彻底的解决自己的心理上的一些问题啊，烦恼。我们烦恼这个字是 vexation。So this chan or this realization can help us resolve these vexations. And this may be the first time you're hearing this word vexation. It's like being vexed. Not only being confused, but being troubled or being burdened. The English word is not so commonly used, but now you know what we're referring to. All kinds of troubles that arise in our mind. Different kinds of difficulties that we face, coming from our mind and our behavior. The Chinese word for vexation sometimes just means like really big problems. Like if you ask a person, they use this word 烦恼, do you have vexations? They'd say, no, I don't have any vexations. You know, if their life is going quite smoothly, I don't have any vexations. It actually sometimes refers to big problems. This person is very unstable, or they have lots of trouble. But actually this word vexation refers to any kind of confusion or lack of clarity about our lives. So, 烦恼这个词在中文里面，除了学佛的人，一般的人讲烦恼，大概是讲很大的问题吧，对不对？你问一个没有学佛的人，那你的生活还好吗？有没有什么烦恼？可能会说，如果他们过得还好，可能会说啊，我没有烦恼啊，没有烦恼啊，因为烦恼是指很大的问题，可能是。 情绪上的很不稳定的一些问题啊，或是家庭有很大的困扰啊，儿子去什么，去杀去放火，那个父母亲会有烦恼，对不对？但是烦恼这个字，是指任何的心理的不明、不清楚，对生命的疑惑，一点点的疑惑，一点点的不清楚。 叫做烦恼。 So with this experience of Chan, we can resolve this. Be very clear about how to resolve these vexations. And we can also say that this experience of Chan is not something that Bodhidharma invented. We say he's the founder of the Chan school. It may sound like he invented something new. Or found out something new. But actually, this Chan experience is the same in quality of the experience of the Buddha. We know that the Buddha experienced this enlightenment, which he was able to completely transform his perspective, resolve his difficulties, his vexations. And it's the same Chan, this word Chan, which is used to represent that. So, 禅的这种体验，有时候可能会听起来是在是菩提达摩自己发明的，或者是禅宗佛法里面的禅宗发明的，或者是发现的一种体验。但是呢，禅的体验就是跟佛的体验、佛开悟的体验完全相同。这种体验的本质是一样。 就是让我们彻底解决烦恼。And so we use the word liberation to have this experience of Chan. One works towards liberation, liberation from vexations. 那我们另外一种说法是讲解脱，能够解决烦恼就叫做解脱。So we could say that in one sense, Chan is this experience. This life-changing, liberating experience. 是从体验来讲，禅的这种觉悟，是让我们转化我们的生命，从烦恼得解脱。Chan also has another aspect to it. We could say that Chan refers to the specific teachings and guiding principles of the Chan school. And of course, really taking shape and beginning with Bodhidharma's approach. So this refers to also ideas and concepts. You could say it's a kind of philosophy, but it's different than just a philosophy that we digest and becomes a kind of knowledge. It's a philosophy of life, a philosophy that directs us towards experiencing this liberation. 另外一个角度来看，也是禅宗的观念、禅法的修行观念和教理。我们从菩提达摩就开始有这种特殊的教理，或者是特殊的修行的方式。那禅也是这些观念，还有修持。 的方式。So this also includes method. And we discuss, you know, what is Chan? Chan refers to a method of practice, how to actually use these principles and apply them. And of course, we all know about one of the most fundamental methods is sitting meditation. Sitting meditation, but also how to apply these principles to daily life. This is also included in this method of Chan. Chan 也是指方法, 修行的方法, 怎么样子用, 禅宗的观念, 禅修的, 态度, 运用在生活上。 我们都知道, 禅修的一个基础的方法是打坐, 禅坐。 从禅坐以后, 我们要能够把禅修的方法延伸到生活里面去。 So, I think most of you have heard this all before. It's not anything new, but it's good to refresh and also let the newcomers know.
我想大家, 大部分已经听了很多次嘛, 禅是什么意思啊? 但是, 能够复习是很好, 而且能够让第一次来的, 能够知道我们禅是什么意思。
So next, how do we approach this practice of Chan? How do we really even begin to study? And then how do we actually apply it? And for some people, it may seem unapproachable. You know, the ideas of Chan practice, the ideas of the Chan school itself may seem unapproachable, very difficult. It may seem kind of profound. Some of the philosophy is very profound. Or it may seem like there's nothing really tangible, so formless, we don't know how to approach it.
有的人说, 你要开始修行禅法的时候, 是怎么修? 到底怎么去入门? 怎么进入禅门? 有的人可能会觉得, 一听禅宗的观念, 禅法的一些思想, 听起来很玄, 很妙, 好像很深, 道理很深, 听不懂, 听起来很好听, 但是呢, 怎么用, 可能会觉得, 很难, 很难去, 着力。 有可能也会觉得, 禅修啊, 它没有具体的一种方法, 让我们进去啊, 因为这样子, 可能会觉得, 不敢修, 或是不知道怎么开始修行。
Although some people may think it's very easy, especially if they read a lot about Chan practice and read things about sudden enlightenment, which is the most attractive thing about Chan practice. Have you heard about that? You practice Chan and you can have sudden enlightenment. And in this way, a person may think, okay, I like this, this is good, sudden. I don't have to work too hard. I just, do this Chan thing, maybe meditate for a little bit, or, look at my mind, okay, and I expect to get enlightenment. I could do this. And it's possible that this kind of person is expecting quick results. They expect quick results, they expect to feel something right away, or they expect that after studying for, a week or so, or maybe at least a few months, it's like taking a course in, painting. Take a course in Chan. A few months, let me get this enlightenment, I'll be better off. And they expect quick results, but they're not willing to put in the effort as well. It's possible that some people have this kind of approach to studying Chan.
另外一种人可能会觉得禅修很简单,没有问题,我可以修,而且呢,我可以修成功,修得很快,反正顿悟嘛。 禅宗讲顿呢, 你不用修行, 就一下子就可以顿悟, 好, 不错, 我喜欢, 我来, 我愿意, 可能会愿意, 2个礼拜吧, 只要2个礼拜, 我就可以开悟, 没有问题, 或者是, 好, 2个礼拜有一点时间短, 4个月, 就像上一门什么课, 上画画的课, 好, 大概只要4个月就好了, 然后学禅学四个月, 大概可以开悟嘛。 这种人因为他很期待有一种快速的效果，所以呢他不会有恒心，不会很努力，不会持久，但是他就是听到有一种顿悟，那就会追求，所以对他们来讲禅修是很简单。
But actually Chan practice is neither. We can't say it's difficult. If we say it's difficult, immediately we've discouraged ourselves. We won't begin to start. If we say it's easy, we may start, but very soon after, we'll probably give up. We'll feel that, well, maybe it's a trick. Maybe it really isn't sudden enlightenment. Or maybe this is just, you know, this is just not really useless or useful. And that person would give up quickly. So both of those kinds of attitudes of it being difficult or easy, they're not very useful. The most useful kind of attitude is that we just engage ourselves in the practice. We have confidence that it's possible to transform our vexations, to resolve our problems. We have that confidence, but we just have the, we put forth the effort and engage in the practice. And we have to be consistent. And we just go, we just practice. This is the best kind of approach.
所以呢，禅修不能说它是很难，因为说很难就不会去修行，不会用功。一觉得一想到很难，就一下子自己的那种就是没有办法开始了。因为不鼓励自己，你不会去开始修行。说很难就不会去用，说容易啊可能会开始修行，修一段时间会放弃，会没有效果，已经4个月没有效果，也可能会放弃，不会去继续的修行。所以说很难也不对，说容易也不对，最好的一种修行的态度就是，好，我愿意修，我愿意用，我相信这种禅修的方法有用，可以改变我整个生命的体验，可以解决我的烦恼，我相信，但是呢我就继续的用，继续的学，有恒心的学，这种态度是最好的，最有用的态度。
So today we'll use Bodhidharma's teaching to discuss his approach to Chan. Have many of you read Bodhidharma? Maybe you've heard of him, but how many of you have actually read his teachings? Some? Yeah? Two? Really? Anybody else? Three? Okay. The particular teaching that I'd like to share with everyone today is on the Two entries and four practices.
今天我们会用菩提达摩的一些教理去分享禅修是怎么修。看过菩提达摩的一些开示的人多不多？有没有？请举手。看过菩提达摩的一些开示，不多。
This lecture, or this teaching in particular, is very short. It's only a couple of pages, but I found it's wonderful, very concise. It contains really the essence of Chan practice, as well as the fundamental teachings of Buddhism, all within these few pages, within a few words. So I think it's quite wonderful.
今天菩提达摩的这段开示叫做二入四行，其实它的全名是菩提达摩大师略辩大圣入道四行观，看过有没有？很短，但是它的内容很丰富，它内容里面也有禅修的the essence or the 精华吗 essence， 还有呢也有整体佛法的基本的观念都在里面，都在一个很短的开示里面，所以我觉得
分享这一段，是很好的。So first, we'll just begin with this, introducing the four approaches. Now, what are these four practices and two ways to enter into Chan practice? First, we have, in terms of there being two entrances or two ways to enter the practice, we have one which is, can be translated as entry through principle. Okay. Or we can enter through practice.
那菩提达摩这场开示里面讲怎么样子的进入禅门，怎么样子的修禅修。大致上有两种方式，一种叫做理入，从理进入禅门，而另外一种叫做行入，可以从理进入，或者是从行进入。
So what does principle mean? It's very interesting. What is entry through principle?And there's a note here, for those of you who have read this, did you guys read it from this book, Red Pine? Probably the only English translation of Bodhidharma. I don't know if there's any more. Is there more new translations? Probably not. I found that this translation, it's okay, but there's a lot to be desired in terms of my perspective. And in terms of a practitioner, it may be difficult to read this translation.And get the essence of Bodhidharma's meaning. So I may use different words compared to this translation, and it may be different than what you've heard. So if you have read this before, just be open to a new way of reading it and understanding it.
那理是什么意思啊？那我分享这一段的时候关于英文版，中文版是一样的，就是英文版的部分。到目前好像只有一个版本，一个英文的翻译。那我觉得翻译是还不错，但是有一些部分还可以改进。那对一个修行的人来讲，你看英文版的时候，可能会觉得不晓得怎么用，不是那么的清楚。所以我今天的解释会用不同的一些英文的词句，或者英文的词。来解释。
So if we look at principle, for the most part, in English usually means a kind of concept, right? A principle. It's almost a concept or a law, something which is describable, some kind of formula. However, principle in this case doesn't mean that. Principle doesn't mean a kind of logic, a kind of thinking,or a set of rules or reasoning. Principle, in this case, actually just means reality. The reality experienced through this Chan experience. It's not something mysterious, and not a mysterious reality, some other world. It's actually an experience of your life, unclouded by logic, or unconfused by reasoning and ideas and thoughts. This is principle in this context.
所以理这个是这个地方的理一般理的意思是像道理，那道理是一种观念或者是一种思想或者是一种可以说明可以解释的真理，但是这个地方的理，菩提达摩讲的理，不是逻辑思想，也不是观念，不是思考，也不是可以说明的，而是这个地方的理就是reality。 怎么翻呢？实相，好像实相也是一个佛教的名词哈。真如也是 reality， 也是一个佛教的名词。 reality 可能会讲真理嘛，但是这种真理不是要说明，而是从禅的体验而去发现。禅的体验就是不用逻辑，不用思想，不是观念，离开全部的这些才能够体会到真理，就是我们讲实相或者是真性。菩提达摩在这段里面也讲真性这个字，也是指实相 reality。 所以这边的离就是一种体验。 So principle is an experience, this experience of our life, our reality, through leaving behind our attachment to ideas, to concepts, to reasoning. And how do we do that? How do we have this experience? Well, we could read a little bit from Bodhidharma. And he says, well, to paraphrase, to enter into this principle, to realize this principle, well, as we borrow the teachings, and we have confidence that all living beings have the same nature, or all life has the same true nature, but it's just not visible because of our wandering thoughts, our delusion. So, 这段菩提达摩是形容理呀，那他我把它念出来，不晓得你没有这个中文的原文，不晓得能不能听得懂。那菩提达摩讲理呀，理入为戒教悟宗。好，我不念了，为你没有看，大概不容易懂，我就把它翻成比较白话。那如何体会到这个理？我们是运用教理来悟到心，悟到禅的体验。首先我们要深信，要完全相信所有的众生，所有的一切的生命是有同一个真性。但是呢，因为我们的妄想杂念执着而看不到。So Bodhidharma is describing why we can experience this principle, why we can experience this reality of Chan and be free from our suffering. It's because we have constant and a cloud of wandering thoughts, clouded mind, filled with ideas, filled with attachment to our perspectives, our different views. And that's why we can experience this reality which is in front of us.所以菩提达摩是形容为什么是看不到理，体验不到理，那就是因为我们的讲妄想杂念这些执着而体会不到。 And it's maybe good to introduce what this wandering thoughts means, because we use this all the time when we talk about Chan practice. Wandering thoughts, have you heard of thatAnd you're reading wandering thoughts or deluded thoughts. Now, what does it mean? And actually, there's another way to translate it, which is misperception. It's a misperception about reality. And actually, the Chinese character for 妄想, this character for 妄 means, it can mean absurd, like completely ridiculous, incorrect.And the word for thoughts or perceptions, 想, contains the word for form or image, and then the character for mind. So within this word, thoughts, there is these forms or images within our mind. So wandering thoughts or deluded thoughts or misperceptions refers to the actual absurd ideas that we have about reality. When we attach to them, it becomes an absurd or misperception of reality. 那可能要 解释妄想这个词，因为在禅修里面，禅的祖师菩提达摩都会用妄想这个词。那到底什么叫做妄想？那妄想的中文的字，从字面上来看，妄这个字的意思是很不实际，或者是完全错误的意思。想，想的这个字里面有相，还有心，所以心中的相叫做想。我们心中的一些影像、符号、语言，就是一个想 ，perception。那妄呢，就是完全有错误的认知，因为我们的想，而且是不实际的想，执着想的时候，变成妄，变成一种错误的认知，对我们生命有一个错误的认知，才叫做妄想。Usually in Chinese, that word is used as like someone has a ridiculous idea about something. It's like they say, when I get older, I'm going to be rich. Or, you know, in a few months, I'm sure I can get rich. And you'll probably say, that's ridiculous. That's absurd. But this term, wandering thoughts or deluded thoughts, doesn't refer to this kind of wild fantasy only, but refers to a misperception about our life. 那妄想在一般中文里面，如果你的朋友或者是有人有一种很不实际的想法或者梦想，他们说我一定会很有钱，我相信我可以赚很多钱，我可以很 rich， 怎么讲啊，我忘掉富有啊，大概几个月吧，只要几个月一定可以赚很多钱。如果我们发现这个人做不到，可能会想，你打妄想，打妄想去，你不行啊。因为我们认为是一种梦想，很不实际的想法。但是呢，不只是这种比较像梦想做不到，或者是非常不实际的想法，而是一种对生命的错误的认知，才叫做妄想，对我们自己以及整个的生命有一个错误的看法，才叫做妄想。Here in this first part, when Bodhidharma is talking about, he doesn't describe what are the misperceptions. What does that refer to? He just refers to the fact that when our mind is filled with all of these thoughts, burdened by these thoughts, then we can't experience this reality of chan. 那菩提达摩在前面这一段讲理入，他没有讲到妄想到底是什么意思啊？我妄想的所引起的错误的认知到底是什么？他还没有讲，但是他只讲到心里面有种种的这些妄念、杂念，或是妄想覆盖我们的心的真性，所以体会不到禅，解决不了我们的烦恼。So the method of experiencing this reality, which liberates us from vexation, he simply says to not discriminate. What's discriminate? Well, it also means not to generate an idea or separation between anything. As soon as the mind has an idea, has a concept, this is the basis of discrimination. We have the most basic concept, which is what? Me, you, everyone, all sorts of things, cars, birds, Chan Center, your house, your job, everything. as well as a sense of all of these things existing in time. This is discrimination. And if you read the Diamond Sutra before, the four kinds of most basic discrimination or ideas are the idea of self, other, many others, as well as time, or these things moving through time and having a certain lifespan. I have a lifespan, it's such and such a length. This place has been around for such and such an amount of time. These basic concepts form the basis for discrimination, which is basically the way we ordinarily understand the world and ourselves. I am me, you are you, right? You can't be me, I can't be you. To say otherwise is kind of crazy. And this is the basis of our perceptions. And we call it discrimination. A Pūti Dāmo 形容怎么样子的从理进入怎么样子体会到这个理他的方法很简单他就说不要分别分别是什么意思我怎么样子的不分别呢那分别最基本的一种分别是当我们的心起一种观念 其一种相什么相呢有我相啊有你的相啊有大家的相还有呢禅宗心相还有你的家相你的工作相鸟相树相什么相都是相都是分别就是心里去分你我他 分一切的东西分得很清楚就是一个相也是一个相那它如果你看过《金刚经》《金刚经》里面的有四种最基本的执着或是基本的相第一是我相第二是什么人相那第三是 众生相，那第四是受者相。那不晓得看《金刚经》的时候，到这个地方懂不懂？到底是什么相？那是相，就是指一种观念上对我们生命的一种观念上的了解，是逻辑思想的基本的一种内容。 一个我相，我是我，我不是你，对不对？你不是我，我不是鸟，也不是一棵树，全部都是分开的。那是用相去分别，心中的perception， 心中的想去分别。那菩提达摩的方法是说，不要分别，就好。In the text here, he says to not discriminate between yourself, between others, and make your mind unmoving like a wall, without discrimination, without doing anything, actually, without trying, without contrived effort. If we can do that, we can experience this reality, this true nature of things.
那菩提达摩说不要分别不要分别我你也让你的心变成像墙壁一样不动摇没有分别宁静而也不要去有任何的造作不需要去很努力这个就叫做理入 So it sounds quite easy, huh? Just don't discriminate. You'll experience chan, you'll resolve all of your vexations. And that's it. Make your mind like a wall. Not moving. But this sort of sounds kind of like
does it seem like make yourself like a log? Make yourself like a rock, unmoving, unthinking, unresponsive, without the ability to cognize or think? It may sound like that, but Bodhidharma's intention is actually to, in the context of sitting meditation, empty your mind of all these concepts. Empty your mind of all these attachments to ideas. When you can do that, you'll see the reality in front of you, which is beyond ideas. It's not that you'll become a log, or that your mind will become frozen like a wall. It's better that your mind can be like a wall and you can hang things on it. Walls are useful. They're not just, you know, useless. You can hang things on it. You could hang pictures. You can hang them. You can take them down. And no matter what you hang on the wall won't be hurt by it. You won't say, you know, what are you hanging on me again? You're always hanging things on me. The wall doesn't mind. It's unmoved by no matter what you hang on it. So it still has a function, which means that this mind can also function and respond to things. So in the 这个不分别听起来好像很简单，就是不要想了，不要去分别，一下子可以体会到禅，一下子可以解决生命的烦恼，生命的困扰。但是同时听起来好像会不会变成一块木头，或是会不会变成像石头一样笨笨的，没有生命？ 不能思考，不能活动，不能有反应，一种物质的东西啊，是不是会变成笨人？会不会有这种问题啊？但是呢，心如墙壁，是形容我们的心还是有作用，像一个墙壁的作用是可以挂东西嘛？你挂一幅画，你挂什么东西都可以挂。 挂上去，挂下来，挂上去，那个墙壁不会有问题啊，不会觉得你老是把东西挂在我的身上啊，麻烦啊，很痛啊，那你把钉子打进去啊，很痛啊。墙壁不会动，墙壁不会受到影响，不会怎么样，但是呢，它有作用，还是可以挂东西。所以这种禅的心，或是这种理。 入的方式，不分别的意思，不是说心里不会变成没有作用，会变成笨人，而是你的心还是有作用，但是呢，你不会受到任何的影响，不会受到任何想，心中的想或是环境的影响，而是有作用，而是还可以有反应。<咳> So with this kind of method, it's very straightforward, very simple. Just dropping discrimination. Dropping attachment to thoughts and ideas. And we have a method which is called silent illumination. Have you heard of this? It's a method which we are, you know, advocating as one of the two main methods of our Chan practice. Silent illumination. With this method, the most simple approach to silent illumination is really just to sit in stillness, without thinking, without conceptualizing, without generating this discrimination. And through that, your mind will find this silence, this calmness, because of its not moving, not generating thoughts. And through that silence, there's also a clarity, clear knowing of your sitting, a clear knowing of the environment. Eventually, a clear knowing of this reality of what we described as Chan. And this is an experience of a silent yet clear, fully knowing mind. And we call this silent illumination. <咳>那我们的禅修的方法里面有一种方法叫做默照，听过吗？当然听过。默照就是我们创办人圣严师父所提倡的 我们两种禅修方法之一。那默照的方法，从最直接的方式来讲，默照就是不分别。 你打坐的时候坐下去，不要去思想，不要有思考或是思想，不要起这些种种的分别的念头，而是让这些心念沉淀下来，慢慢的沉淀下来。而当你的心很宁静的时候，没有被这些念头所干扰，也会很清楚很明白。这种心的静啊，不是说不想不分别就睡着了，或者是不分别就变成笨笨的，而是宁静，没有念头的干扰，而是非常清楚非常明白我在打坐，还有我的环境的任何的动静也会很清楚，就是不受到影响而已。所以是一种宁静而清楚的心的状况，就叫做默照。This is the most direct approach to silent illumination, but there are also other approaches that our Sifu has taught. If we find that this a very direct approach is very difficult, I don't know if you've ever tried that. Have you tried just to sit without thinking, sit without making discrimination, and just experience your life? Have you tried that? Or have you wished that the thinking would stop? Wished that our mind wouldn't be filled with all of these thoughts? And we may wish that, but it may be very difficult to do, just because our habits are so strong. And our perceptions, our misperceptions, are so deeply ingrained. We find it so difficult just to put them all down. Do you find that? I guess if you found it easy, we'd all be enlightened. You couldn't go home. You know, you could give your own Dharma talks and share Bodhidharma's teaching and enlighten people. But we may find it's very difficult to just let go of discrimination. 那不晓得你们觉得不分别啊，完全把分别心放下，容易不容易啊？大概是不容易啊。有没有试着去，不晓得，就是坐下去啊，不想事情，放松身心，不打妄想，或者是有没有想过啊，什么时候这个心理啊，这些想法会停断呢、啊？什么时候不会干扰？因为我们的心就是习惯想很多事情，不停的在想，不停的在思考，不停的在回忆过去，想象未来，所以会觉得要用这种离入的方式很困难。那我们默照的方法，如果这种很直接的方式太难的话，没有关系，我们有一种方便的入手的法门。那如果你想学习，那我建议你去打个禅七嘛，或者是至少来打个禅一。这边有禅一，还有我们香港道场也有禅一、禅三。你要学默照，你可以来试试看，体验一下。If you want to learn this kind of Chan method of silent illumination with these more gradual approach to the practice,Well, I recommend you can do a 7-day retreat. Or, 7 days too long, do a 3-day retreat. Or a 1-day retreat. We have 1-day retreats here, I think once a month, is that right? And also once a month at DDRC, upstate. We have 1-day retreats, 3-day retreats. If you want to really learn how to use this method of silent illumination, the best is to experience, try it during the context of Chan retreat, meditation retreat.So for this entry through principle, again, it's this direct, this simple. And a wonderful analogy is like our current state of mind is like the sky filled with all sorts of clouds, all sorts of fog. Black clouds, white clouds, fog, all sorts of shapes moving here and there. Thunder and lightning, especially when we experience lots of trouble, lots of internal stress.It's a very cloudy, stormy sky. This entry through principle is like all of a sudden the clouds departing. The storms depart,
clouds depart. No more black clouds, no more white clouds. Just this clear blue sky, this clear scenery, this openness, this vastness. Entry through principle can be described like that, could paint a picture like that. Suddenly, the clouds depart.
形容它，那形容说我们的心在还没有去用这个方法之前，是一个复杂的心，就像一个天空里面有很多云，有黑的云，有白的云，有种种形状的云，也有什么打雷啊，有雨啊，有风，很乱，整个的天空都有种种的这些现象。 当我们放下分别的时候，就像所有的云、所有的雨、或者雷啊，这些豁然散开，剩下一个蓝色的天空，一个空阔的、无限的天空。用这种比喻是形容礼物，一下子豁然散开云。
剩下开阔的天空。I think imagining it, it's quite nice, huh? Just imagining your mind opening up like the sky. It may bring a little bit of relief.
这种比喻啊，想象起来很舒服哈。如果光是想象也不错，也可以舒服一点点。想象你的心一下子豁然打开。
And the founder of Silent Illumination, who coined this phrase, wrote lots of poems about this practice and about this experience of Chan. And one of the lines, he describes it like the sky, 空阔莫涯兮, which is like a limitless, boundless sky. 主张莫造禅的祖师，有一位叫弘智正觉，他也是形容这种禅的心态，就像空阔莫涯兮，一种天空是空阔的，没有边，无限的大，无限的广。 And if you like, the book, Shifu has a book on silent illumination, which has lots of Master Hongzhi's poetry, as well as descriptions of how to use this practice. 如果你觉得对弘智正觉的这种禅修有兴趣，或是想要再看一看一些诗记，关于莫造禅的诗记，我们师父有一本书，叫做中文版叫做一个是圣严法师教莫造禅，另外一本叫做 无法之法，好像，对不对？有一本无法之法。The
Method of No Method is the name of the book. So what if we can't really apply this approach of entry through principle? Well, Bodhidharma provided us with entry through practice. Four other all-inclusive practices that we can use to enter this experience of Chan. And what are these four practices? Well, to list them, we have the practice of accepting karmic retribution. Accepting karmic retribution is the first. Second is to accord with conditions, accord with the situations. Third is non-seeking. And the fourth is to be in union with Dharma.
那菩提达摩，因为他晓得礼入不是那么容易啊。每个人不能说一下子可以
用这种方式去有禅的体验。所以呢，他提供了四种修行的方式。那这四种是：第一，叫做报怨行；第二，随缘行；第三，无所求行；第四，称法行或是称法行。等一下再解释中文的部分。English, it's a bit easier to get an idea of what it's talking about upon hearing it. For the Chinese, it may need much more introduction or explanation. But we'll go through this one by one, briefly, to describe what are these practices, how can we make use of them, and gradually refine our mind, gradually take our misperceptions, our absurd ways of really looking at reality, turning it around again, and being able to experience this liberating state of Chan. 所以呢，我们等一下就一个一个的解释如何用这四种修行的方式，也可以说是修行的态度，来慢慢的转化我们的错误的认知，转化我们对妄想，就是转化妄想的这种心念为解脱禅的境界。So the first one, accepting karmic retribution. We need to introduce a few words within this phrase. Karma, I think most of you have an idea of what karma is. Karma literally, most strictly speaking, refers to intentional action. The word karma means action, but intentional action. Action that's done from our choice, done with full knowing that we're doing something. This is one of the foundational concepts of Buddhism, that all of our actions have consequences. Regardless of any kind of action, there will be a reaction, some kind of feedback. And this feedback could be feedback within ourselves, feedback from our own body, our own mind, and it could be feedback from the environment. And simply put, karma is this principle or truth of cause having an effect. And this is related to our behavior. 那第一的报怨行，或是报怨行，要解释，它的意思不是要去报复 ,revenge, 对不对？报怨好像也有 revenge 的意思啊，但是这边的报怨行，里面有关于因果的观念，业的观念。英文的 accepting karmic retribution 报怨行的意思就是能够接受你所造成的业，要接受你的行为所造成的结果，叫做报怨行。那佛法里面大家都知道，因果的观念是佛法里面很基础的一种观念。任何的有心的行为，就是有intention， 有怎么讲呢，有意念，故意的知道在做的行为，就会一定会有一种结果，一定会有一种反应。那反应是从可以从我们的身心有一个反应，也可以从环境有反应。因是行为，果是行为所造成的反应，或所造成的回应。 In this case, Bodhidharma is talking about negative retribution, the kind of retribution or the results of our behavior which we may see as negative. For example, someone scolds us out of the blue. Or you come to the Chan Center in the morning, someone's waiting by the door, and they yell at you and bang on the door to try to get in. That actually happened this morning. There was some guy outside the front door. He seemed to be a bit drunk. He was drunk still by 10 a.m., so he must have been quite wasted. sitting by the door, the first person who came here this morning got, you know, can't say attacked, but verbally attacked, and was prevented from getting in. And this is, we could say, a negative kind of situation. We may feel, well, what did I do to this guy? I didn't do anything. And he attacks me. What's the reason for that? There's no cause. It makes no sense. And we may see that this negative retribution doesn't make sense and may find it difficult to accept. This is one case, but also if you relate it to your own situation, if it's something more serious, that all of a sudden what you have, what you had for so long, you may lose. You've lived at the place you've lived for so long. All of a sudden, you have to lose it. And it's because an attack or some kind of negative response from someone else. You may find that very difficult to accept, very difficult to digest. And this karmic retribution refers to these kinds of negative, difficult to accept situations that we face in our life. We may feel that it doesn't make sense. Why is it happening to me? 所以这个抱怨型 的意思是指 比较负面的 我们所受到的 比较负面的 一些事情 不好的事情就是了 像早上 你可能想要来东土禅寺听开示 想要打坐 想要安心 结果呢 有人在门口等你 不一定在等你 但是他在等任何人 要去干扰他 那其实今天早上 有一个人刚好睡在门口旁边 好像是喝醉的 喝得很厉害 叫做什么 明丁明什么 明明大醉啊已经十点他还是还不清楚啊但是呢遇到这个人的时候来第二世的这一位菩萨遇到这个喝醉的菩萨他就受到一种刺激受到一种负面的反应那我们可能如果是我们自己的话呢会觉得奇怪啊为什么这个人这样子对待我我没有要害他 也不认识他，又是这是一个寺院呢，没有想到会来到寺院的时候就会被欺负啊，或者是会被这个人骂干扰，可能会觉得很难受，不容易接受，或者是呢，在你现在的情况里面遇到困难，遇到一种大的损失的时候，比如说我们拥有的东西。 我们的家突然要搬家，或是突然我们的一切就损失它，可能是很难接受。而第一会想到，这个怎么会发生在我的身上啊？我没有做坏事啊，我是好人啊，我不做坏事啊，我又学佛啊，菩萨不保佑吗？奇怪。 为什么会在我的身上发生？会很难受，也可能会觉得没有道理。那菩提达摩在这边提醒我们，有道理。So in this case, when it's very difficult to accept these situations, Bodhidharma is reminding us that it does make sense. There is a reason, and the reason is it's just the reaction, a natural reaction of our behavior. Maybe we don't remember what we did. Maybe we can't see how we're influencing others, how we're influencing our environment. Maybe it's us influencing our landlord in a way which gets us kicked out. Maybe we don't realize what we're doing. We don't realize our behavior, and it's influencing others. And so we get this response, this negative response. And in this way, it makes sense. All of the things we experience have a cause, have a reason. So they make sense. And we should take responsibility for them. If we don't, we'll just suffer. We'll just continually be thinking, how could this happen to me? This doesn't make sense. We'd be suffering. if we change our perspective and say, well, it makes sense. It's just what happens. It's what I earned. It's the way things turned out. And it has something to do with something I've done, the relationships I've made with people, the way I treat others. This makes sense. So I just accept it. In this case, with this attitude of accepting it, we'd resolve this suffering which comes from not accepting, fighting with it. And we'd find that we can deal with it with a peaceful, quiet state of mind. 所以菩提达摩在提醒我们，这些受到的刺激，或者是受到的负面的回应，是不好的事情，它有道理，它有原因。原因就是因为我们的行为造成的。那怎么造成呢？不做坏事啊？可能是没有发现自己做的事情。 自己讲的话，自己起的念头，是自己所给的一些，给别人的一些行为啊，或者是给他们的压力，是给他们的回应是负面的，那当然这些负面的回应又会回来到我们的身上，所以是有道理。虽然可能不记得，但是呢。 一定是这样子的一种道理。如果我们可以像菩提达摩形容，要甘心甘受，这四个字啊，甘心甘受，我们这种不能面对或是不愿意接受的心态，这种很苦的心态就可以化解。化解之后，心就可以安。安之后。 就可以去处理你的事情，不安的时候，一定是很不舒服、很痛苦；又要处理的时候，会处理的不好。所以，这种观念抱怨型的观念，是让我们接受一切所遇到的一切的不好的或是负面的状况。So again, this concept. Or this practice of accepting karmic retribution, accepting what we deserve, helps to resolve this attitude of not being able to accept, that attitude of struggling with our situation, fighting, not being able to accept it, and suffering because of that. If we suffer because of that, when we have to deal with the situation, we won't be able to deal with it properly. So this practice is actually discovering our attitude of struggling, not accepting, transforming it, just accepting it. I've earned it. And then your mind will be calm. You'll be able to move forward. 好像翻了两次啊，我开始不记得英文讲的、中文讲的部分都混在一起啊，要提醒啊，举手啊。The second, which is to accord with conditions, is related to karma or this cause and effect of our behavior. But in this case, this conditions that Bodhidharma is referring to, and the second one is referring to good conditions, positive conditions, conditions which we feel are good and we're happy to accept. Not only we're happy to accept, but we cherish and enjoy these situations. Some kind of success, some kind of benefit that we gain. With according with conditions, Bodhidharma is reminding us that don't be too proud. Don't be too excited. When you feel you've succeeded in something, be careful. Don't be too proud. You can think of yourself, your own situation, a kind of success that you've had. How do we feel? We feel, did a good job. Yeah, it's pretty good. Other people tell you, wow, you did a great job, wonderful. And we feel good. We feel we did a great job. And the conditions were what? Created by us. I worked hard. I earned it. I graduated. Did a good job. Or we improved our relationship. We feel good about that. It's because of me. Because I'm studying Buddhism now. I have wisdom now. I'm meditating. So, I dealt with it pretty well. I'm doing good. And this is a kind of vexation, actually. This feeling good in this sense, a kind of vexation, it's strange. Isn't it encouraging to feel good about ourselves? But it can be dangerous, because if we feel pride, then we not only feel good about ourselves, but we fill our minds with how good we are. We fill our minds with this big image or idea of ourselves. And this pride is a kind of vexation. Bodhidharma is reminding us that everything we achieve, every situation that arises, of course it's due to our own effort, but it's also due to countless unknowable conditions. Some of the conditions we may see, we may know about. Many of the conditions we have no idea or we've forgotten about. So, it's due to our own efforts, but it's due to this countless cooperating conditions or situations. So, there's no need to be prideful. The Bodhidharma, the 第二种, 修行的方式, 随缘行, 它跟因果有关系, 跟因缘有关系, 这个观念, 那它主要是说, 形容, 当我们遇到好的状况, 好的事情, 它用的, 它说明是用, 叫做什么, 荣誉啊, 是不是有这个词啊, 荣誉啊, 就是很好的, 很好的事情啊, 就是因为我们的努力, 而会受到赞叹, 或者是会觉得自己做得不错, 很好, 这个事情有成就, 因为我的努力, 所以会觉得, 不错, 做得很好, 那可以说没有什么不好啊, 这种自我的鼓励, 也是需要, 但是呢, 要小心, 很容易变成一种骄傲的心, 一种傲慢的心, 认为这个事情的成就, 就是因为我而已啊, 因为我的努力, 才会变成这个样子, 或者是呢, 你把你的人际关系, 有做很多的改善, 会觉得, 不错, 现在学佛啊, 现在打坐, 好像有一点智慧, 不错, 我修得很好, 自我鼓励是需要, 但是呢, 很容易变成一直挂在我们的心上, 那变成骄傲, 那骄傲就是一种烦恼嘛, 心里的云啊, 就变成骄傲的, 骄傲的思想, 骄傲的想法, 那菩提达摩是提醒我们, 要小心, 这个不能执着, 要放下它, So, being prideful is vexation actually. It's an agitated mind based on these big thoughts or these self-complimenting thoughts. So, if we use this idea of according with conditions, which means that any single condition depends on so many other different conditions. For us to graduate from school, is it just us who did all the work? What about the teachers? Our teachers spent so much time and spent so much patience teaching us. The environment, the fact that we had a conducive environment for study or for learning, comes from so many different people's efforts, so many different living beings as well as non-living beings. If your environment isn't healthy, how could you study in an unclean, unhealthy environment? So even non-living beings are giving us a kind of support, a healthy, clean environment. People who care for us, people who are patient with us and teach us, help make us what we are today. Our efforts are just a small part. Actually, a lot comes from these other conditions. So there's no need to be prideful. And with that, we dissolve this vexation of pride. 那这种随缘行是告诉我们所有的事情的成就不只是我们自己的努力而是种种的因缘的具足才会有这种成就 比如说要毕业，大学毕业，或者是从什么课程毕业，是一种成就吗？那是不是说毕业是完全是因为我们自己的努力呢？还是因为我们的老师很照顾我们呢？花那么多时间来，很有耐心的指导我们呢？还有因为环境也允许我们有一个健康的、舒服的、安全的环境来学习。那环境可以说是没有生命的，比如说一个健康的环境是无情，但是呢，这种无情的众生也在支持我们呢。一个干净、一个安静或者是健康的环境，也算是一种很好的助缘。所以有情的众生、无情的众生都是支持我们，让我们有这种因缘来有一种成就。那能够感恩或是能够发现这种因缘的道理，是能够化解这种骄傲的心、傲慢的心，也是从傲慢心可以解脱这个烦恼。And also you can think in terms of even planting a tree. For a tree to grow, it's not that you just put it in the ground and plant it, but it needs all sorts of favorable conditions for it to grow, right? Have you ever tried to plant a tree or grow a bonsai? If you don't have a backyard because you're in the city, how many of you tried to grow a bonsai or grow some kind of flower? You think, well, I bought the flower, I got the pot, put it in my house, maybe water it sometimes, it should grow. But we may discover that certain flowers, need a lot of care, a lot of very specific conditions for them to grow, for them to flower and flourish. If they don't have these conditions, they won't grow, they won't flourish. Not that you just put it in a pot and put it on the side. It needs sunlight, water, certain nourishment in order for it to grow. So this is the basic concept of causes and conditions. And Bodhidharma is reminding us to look at our situation in the light of causes and conditions to resolve this overly self-centered, prideful kind of vexation. So these first two, this accepting karmic retribution as, 对不起,没有翻译哈,树,种树,我大概听得懂吗?你要种一棵树,种一棵或是一个花的时候,不只是把它放在一个花盆里面丢在一边,希望它可以长,赶快长,而是种花的时候也要有因缘,它需要水啊,阳啊,太阳啊,太阳光,还要需要营养啊。哎，有的话，它的条件要长的话，它的条件非常特别，很难呢。但是，只能够在有这些因缘条件的时候才会长大。那这种因缘的道理是提醒我们，我们一切的状况、一切的成就，是因为种种的因缘而促成的。所以这样子就可以化解掉我们的傲慢心、骄傲的心。So these first two are really a healthy attitude just towards facing our life situation. He hasn't talked about how we should behave just yet or what we should do, you know, actively. He's first reminding us in the face of good conditions, in the face of bad conditions, how to resolve these vexations which come from self-centered reactions. In the face of good situations, we usually feel, I did so well. I'm so successful. In the face of bad situations, we think, how could this happen to me? I didn't deserve this. And constantly, in the face of these good, bad situations, these adverse or favorable situations,
The state of our mind is constantly revolving back and forth between not being able to accept or cherishing, self-cherishing. And this is based on our self-centeredness, our self-centered habits of viewing our situation through my efforts, through me, and through either getting what I like or avoiding what I don't like. And this is, you could say, our reincarnation. Moment after moment, reincarnating through these self-centered attitudes. And these first two help us to resolve that, help us to change or let go of these self-centered perspectives. So, 这前面的两种, 第一, 抱怨行, 第二, 随缘行, 是提醒我们, 是用观念来帮助我们化解我们自我中心的态度啊。 针对我们的好的状况, 坏的状况, 我们都会有这种, 自私或是自我的反应, 好的状况, 啊, 我做得很好, 不好的状况, 怎么会在我的身上发生? 那因为有好的状况, 坏的状况, 一直都会, 变来变去, 都会遇到这些状况, 而会使得我们的心的反应, 老是在, 轮回啊, 轮回在自我中心的反应, 自私心的反应, 好的会很喜欢, 也会觉得我很好, 会骄傲, 不好的会讨厌, 心理上会有讨厌的这种情绪, 讨厌的这种痛苦啊, 不能接受。 所以菩提达摩讲这前面的抱怨行, 随缘行, 是用观念, 来帮助我们调整这些自我中心的心态，来化解它。那这是一种很健康的态度，就是对人生所遇到的状况是一种健康的态度。还没有讲到我们的行为是怎么样，到底是怎么去处理事情、去行动，还没有讲。 接下来的无所求行还有称法行才会讲。 So with these first two, it's really a kind of perspective that we have in facing our lives. It doesn't yet discuss how we should behave or how we should respond to situations or how we should actively engage in our lives with this perspective of practice. It's the next two where he talks about that. The next two are non-seeking and union with the Dharma. And I think that time is up, yeah? Finish at 12:30? I forget, somebody, yes, yes or no? Yes, finish at 12:30. So we'll have to wait till next time to discuss the next two practices of the four practices of Bodhidharma. What is this non-seeking and what is this practice of union with the Dharma? But I think for now, these first two is very useful. The first two practices in facing our life situations and using an idea to resolve our vexations. And the very first entry through principle, even though it may seem very hard to apply, very difficult to approach, we can actually do it. And it begins with what? Relaxing ourselves. Relaxing our body and mind. Relaxing our thinking. Giving our constant thinking a break, a rest, and finding this silence of mind, this clarity of mind. This is also applicable, and you can begin this practice just by finding a comfortable seat, finding a place to sit, and allow yourself to relax, fully relax your body and mind. 因为时间到了，没有办法讲到第三个、第四个无所求行。 称法行，但是呢，前面这两个我觉得很不错，已经够了，已经够了。今天，或是够了一辈子，能够面对好的状况、坏的状况，怎么样子的有一个健康的态度，一个没有烦恼的态度。那如何有比较active？怎么讲呢？
积极的，如果有积极的行为来生活上修行的话呢，我们等到下次再讲。这两个抱怨行、随缘行，还有前面的礼入啊，礼入也不一定把它看得那么困难呢、啊。虽然不能说一下子可以开悟啊，一下子完全没有烦恼，但是呢，我们可以慢慢的修，慢慢的练习礼入啊。礼入是先从放松身心嘛，身体要放松，心理也要放松，心理的分别不能说可以完全一下子放下，不容易，但是可以练习着慢慢的摆开，慢慢的放下这个很忙的分别心，而放松我们的心理，那这个是可以慢慢修，慢慢的练习。And if we can begin by relaxing our body and mind and just having these two perspectives, I think that certainly we'll be able to face our situations with this calmness and clarity. This calmness and clarity is the foundation for this experience or living this practice of Chan. 那能够放松身心就是一个非常好的开始。能够放松身心还有用这两种的健康的态度，我们在生活上一定是会能够更快乐的去面对，更快乐的去处理我们的生活上的一切。 Okay, so I hope you enjoyed, and we'll finish here for today, and hope to see you next time.